Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures. With that, let's jump into the episode. Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. I'm your host of the Chain Reaction segment, Tom Shaughnessy. Today I'm on to two close friends, Andrew Keys and James Slazes, both of Liquid Stake and Dharma Capital. How's it going, guys?
Very good.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Yeah, of course. Andrew, you were one of our first guests ever on the pod. I think first five episodes. You guys also came on again last year for the launch of Dharma Capital. Now we have you on for Liquid Stake. What exactly is Liquid Stake, guys?
So there's two different offerings. One is Liquid Stake, which basically helps individuals stake Ether, moving this from proof of work to proof of stake. And then Dharma Capital offers out something similar in a swap format for institutions.
So simply put, that's awesome. Liquid Stake and Dharma Capital swap facility are solving the Ethereum 2.0 phase zero, one-way street liquidity problem. That said, what we do is we offer loans to retail individuals via Liquid Stake and a swap facility to institutions via Dharma Capital.
Got it. So ETH 2.0 is going live in, let's say, 18 months or so. The problem today is that it requires people to deposit a lot of Ether to secure the network. But the problem is it's locked up and people can't use that asset right now. So what you guys are doing is you're basically central point for people to stake through and they'll get a loan on that. Is that right?
You can have your stake and eat it too. Exactly. We enable liquidity via our lending facility and our swap facility.
Got it. So when people entrust you guys with their ETH to stake on ETH 2.0, ETH 2.0 staking isn't live yet, right? So what's going on in the background right now?
So what'll end up happening is they'll come to our website or through one of our validator service partner channels. So we work closely with Bison Trails, Codify, and Figment. And so as they go through either their site or ours, they will go through an AML KYC process. And then they'll let us know which of those VSPs they want to use. They'll submit in their Ether. We'll stake it on their behalf. And essentially, we need to do that so that we have the private keys. So then that'll go through that VSP. And then we'll issue, for the individuals, we'll issue them a loan. And it'll basically be on a collateralized basis, and so that'll change as market prices change and things like that.
It's interesting. So is that the biggest pain point that you guys have found for people, is that they just don't want their ETH locked up, or is it like regulatory tax reasons? Because to me, it sounds like locking your ETH up and not having access to it is obviously a key problem.
So prior to this product suite for liquidity, I heard from the market that people were bifurcating their Ether into two pots, essentially. A pot that they were willing to go without for anywhere between 18 to 36 months, and then a pot that they could either borrow from or sell off on a monthly basis to pay their bills. What this does is it enables a new concept altogether, wherein one can earn all of the staking rewards and then draw US dollars for monthly liquidity accordingly. So therefore, all of the Ether is essentially earning the rewards rather than just that pot, that the first pot wherein people could go without that liquidity for 18 to 36 months.
Yeah, no, makes a lot of sense. So if users come to Liquid Stake and they stake with you guys, how do you figure out how much like loan they're getting? Like what asset are they getting? Like how much are they getting? How does that all work?
Sure. So, as I was saying, like the Ether goes in, right? And then it gets staked. So freely traded Ether versus an encumbered, locked up Ether, right? We basically discount that by 15%. So when you look at, you know, what's that borrow rate? At the end of the day, we see that as it's 42.5%. It's basically 50% of the Ether, but we've locked it up. It's been discounted. So it really comes out in net effect of like that 42.5. And so that's their amount that they're able to borrow. We then have a trigger point. You know, we basically kind of give a bunch of notices that say, here you have a margin call, here you're close to your that liquidation value, and that's at 65%. So basically, you know, somebody's playing within that range of being able to submit in either additional Ether or USD, things, you know, that kind of collateral.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's 40 or 50% max borrow is better than getting 0% by staking by yourself, especially for time value money on that 18 months is, you know, potentially longer, is definitely helpful. And so what you're saying, James, is that users could add more collateral pretty easily, like right on the site. Like this is all like a pretty easy process online.
Yeah. You know, there's call it a little bit more manual process in the Ether coming in and then being staked. But then as there's any type of collateral requirement, obviously we don't want to have anything slowed down where, you know, it's easy for them to go through the site, be able to submit in collateral, you know, to shore up the loan.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And who's on the other side of this? Like what, like who's giving the USDC and what are they getting out of the side of the deal?
You mean the staker or Dharma and our capital?
Dharma and Liquid Stake, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few parts. As Andrew has mentioned, right, people, we want to support the Ethereum community. And so we, you know, obviously we want there to be that 524,000 staked, right? And so how can we help facilitate that? And that was really the genesis of this idea of, okay, how could we take in this locked up asset, be able to lend against it, and then that helps push forward this movement to proof of stake. Obviously, for, you know, and we're an investment fund. So then we're just looking at this as, well, what are the returns we can make off of doing that? The interesting part about Dharma is because we are so heavily invested into Ethereum, part of our portfolio obviously will appreciate if proof of stake works and moves forward, right? So then we would expect Ether to, you know, to rise. And so there's parts where we can look at this and say, well, we can give a loan rate that might be below what the market is because it's also going to affect our portfolio overall. So, you know, so it just really kind of, it works out nice for us of being able to say, here, we can help support the community, obviously earn returns for our investors. And, you know, we've grabbed a bunch of different, you know, partners within the ecosystem to just help, you know, really help make this work.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's cool that you guys are doing it at size too. So how much does ETH need to launch ETH 2.0, right? It's like 524,000 ETH or something?
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. That's and you guys are allocating 50 mil through Dharma to begin with, right? Through LiquidStake?
Right.
All right, cool. So, I mean, if 524,000 ETH, it's like, I don't know, $250 million. You guys are allocating a pretty sizable amount right off the bat.
Well, I mean, we're believers in the protocol. We're big supporters, and to us, that's the other reason why now we can help engage others to participate in this big step forward, right? So it just kind of makes sense all over the place.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. So I guess just looking forward, I mean, do you guys think like if LiquidStake wasn't here, I guess this is for Andrew, like, do you think that Ethereum would have an issue attracting the necessary ETH locked up to launch ETH 2.0?
I don't think so. I think that the community is are many rational actors and We will see the deposit contract accelerate as we get closer. I just think that things like the Uniswap staking time period ends tomorrow, so there'll be a ton of Ether unlocked there. And these are the smartest people in the world, and they all recognize that they don't really have to deposit the Ether in until 300, 400, 500,000. So I imagine that we will continue to see an uptick in the deposit contract as time progresses.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what's the read through for ETH on here? I mean, without giving any projections, like, how do you guys weigh a lot of ETH being locked up going into ETH 2.0? Like, does this make ETH more scarce? You know, is there an issue with having rewards on two chains, making it, you know, giving more supply? How do you guys view those analogs?
So I think that there are a few variables at play. First and foremost, the additional rewards will be locked up as well. So there won't necessarily be, you know, more supply to say. And then we're also seeing a lot of work in parallel process, and it's taken a little bit of a backseat to the launch of proof of stake. But with EIP 1559, the Ethereum improvement proposal that essentially burns ETH at each computational step. So I believe we'll see that shortly thereafter as well. So I see the finite nature of ETH properties increasing as time goes on.
Yeah, no, that's pretty interesting, guys. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're solving a key concern. I mean, it sounds like there's more focus for institutions than retail. I mean, James, can you go a bit into the other product you're offering for institutions? Like, how does the total return swap of this side work?
So Dharma Capital offers out a swap, and essentially what happens there is there's a lot of tax and regulatory, call it just unclarity, right? Given that the market is so still so new in Treasury's eyes, right? That they haven't defined out, okay, what is staking? What does that actually mean? And so an institution knows how to treat a non-security swap, right? There's 30 plus years of history on basically dealing with that. And so for an institution, they submit in Ether as collateral to the swap. It gets staked. They then get their returns based off of what the swap is, not off of saying, here is my Ether that's actually staked. And so then they're able to treat the taxes, accordingly.
Yeah, it sounds like taxes is definitely a key issue for the larger players in the space. Definitely, maybe not for as retail as much, but definitely for the larger players.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of going from ETH 1 to ETH 2, I don't think any of us would look at that as a taxable event, but there's uncertainty there. There's uncertainty that, is that reward taxable this year, next year, when I sell it, all those types of things. So it's definitely it's an issue that comes up for an institutional side a lot more because they have to stick this into their portfolio and then issue out their K-1s and things.
Awesome. And I guess one of my last questions for you guys, how has the reaction been out of the gate? I mean, you guys literally just launched this like a week ago, big news. Like, how has inbounds been? How have questions been? How has the process been for those getting onboarded? How's everything been there?
Overwhelmingly positive. We are doing our best to keep up with the demand.
Yeah, and actually, it's pretty funny. Several people have come out and asked, could you give me an Ether rate? So we're dollar based lending, and so then they're asking for this Ether rate. So most likely we'll be coming back to you in another few days or week, basically trying to figure out. Obviously, we would be then taking on ETH exposure, which we like ETH exposure. And possibly offer out just here's a percentage of the reward rate, and they can then have their liquidity and being staked.
It's awesome. And James, where do people find more about Liquid Stake? How do they get involved? Who do they contact if they have questions?
I would just say I would first point them just to the website, liquidstake.com, and obviously can reach out to Andrew or I.
That's awesome. Well, guys, 15-minute video update. I plan to do way more of these for our members. So thanks so much for coming on. I know you guys just launched this and you're extremely busy. Thanks again for hopping on real quick.
Thanks to Delphi Digital. Best institutional research out there.
Thank you, Andrew.
Cheers.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.